Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Katie Weaver Show. This is Katie. I'm your host. I'm so happy to be here. If you are watching or listening live, I want to welcome you to the show. It is already the 3rd of June at about 11 a.m. Pacific time. If you're listening to an archive or a replay, I want to also welcome you. I want to let you know we're in the chat room. You can find that by heading over to 12radio.com. Click on the chat button and you'll be redirected into the Facebook chat. If you would rather watch than listen, you can do that by heading over to 12radio.com, or sorry, wrong, by heading over to YouTube or Facebook and look for Katie Weaver Domestic Mystic and you'll find me there live streaming. So any way you slice it, you should be able to find me. I am going to put a link to the live stream in the Facebook chat as well. I want to let you know that whether you are commenting in the chat room or on either one of the streams, I can see it and interact with it. So come and join us. Come join the chat room. We have great chatters around here. I want to say hi to everybody that's already hopped into one of the chats. Welcome. How's everybody doing? Well, I hope. How was your weekend? Did you guys see the Northern Lights? I am sad I did not. We had them here. Can you believe that? We had them here and I didn't even go out and see them. Had a lot of things going on and I just really pretty much ran out of time. So, you know, it is what it is. But I'm seeing pictures from other people though, and it looks like they were magnificent. So that's pretty cool. And I know that's insane. I usually am the first guy out, but you know, sometimes you gotta meter your energy a little bit. And that's what I was doing. So, it's all good. Otherwise, I hope you guys had a good weekend. Oh, Laurie said in California they're having June gloom, which she loves. That's awesome. Yeah. Oh, Lillian says, please share a little more about your diagnosis with us. Yeah. So, and this isn't a brand new diagnosis. It's about 3 years old, but I was diagnosed with a disease called lipedema. And lipedema is, some people call it a swelling disease. Some people call it a fat disease. Some people, my surgeon called it inflammatory connective tissue disease. The short answer is that my skin is not tight enough to help my lymphatic fluid move correctly. So you know that you have layers of function from your bone all the way to your skin. And right below the skin, the several layers of, or, you know, the many layers of skin, is the lymphatic fluid that flows through your body. Lymphatic fluid has a lot of different functions, but that's where it's at. And then underneath that is a layer of fat. And then you get to muscle and so on and so forth. Well, people with lipedema, essentially your skin is too loose and you're not, it's not tight enough to create the pressure for your lymphatic fluid to flow correctly. And so you end up with a lot of swelling and diseased fat because the fat layer that everyone has ends up full of lymphatic fluid. And so untreated, that you just, those areas that you have that are diseased just continue to get larger and full of more fluid until a few things happen. One thing that happens, lots of conservative therapies are employed. One of them being compression, wearing compression at least 12 hours a day. And I don't just mean like capri pants or leggings. I mean like tight compression, the kind that you really have to wrestle into. And that helps to create that that tightness, that pressure that your body needs for your fluid to flow appropriately. So that's helpful. Another therapy is called MLD. That is manual lymphatic drainage. So that's done by a physical therapist or a massage therapist that's been trained appropriately. But basically that is the act of moving the fluid manually up into your abdomen where it can then be absorbed into your body appropriately. I do MLD twice a month. I go to a physical therapist twice a month for work on my legs. And I don't, it's helped me in the sense of pain. I think probably that's the most of it. I mean, it has helped me for sure. But, and then the other piece of that is pneumatic pump therapy. So, if you've ever had surgery, you may remember having these plastic bag things on your legs that inflate. And every so often, right? And then they go back down and they inflate. If you ask what they're for, they'll probably tell you to help prevent blood clots, right? So that's similar to pneumatic pump therapy. So I have these blue leg things that go, they're like leg sleeves that go clear up to my hips that you zip up and then you have to recline. So it's recliner time with the dogs. They don't hate it. And that manually squeezes my legs for, supposed to do about an hour a day, depending on how you're doing. And so that is something that I do as well. Not every day, but most days. Sometimes I move too much fluid up into my abdomen area and I have to wait for that to absorb before I do more. But that's how that works. So those are the conservative therapies. When all else has failed and those things aren't really working, the last therapy is surgical intervention. Surgical intervention is a form of liposuction, a medical form of liposuction. So the way my surgeon separates it, he called it vanity liposuction versus surgical liposuction or versus medical liposuction. So if you can make the distinction, my insurance doesn't want to. But at any rate, the purpose of it is to remove as much diseased tissue and diseased fluid as possible. So that's what I'm looking at now, because I'm at stage four and it's really inhibiting my ability to walk and creating a lot of pain, a lot of pain. Because as those tissues swell and fill up with fluid, it separates your nerve endings or your nerves, basically, and creates nerve pain. And if you've had nerve pain, you know nerve pain's a little tough to treat. A Tylenol won't cut it, right? It's deeper than that. So also, as the swelling increases around your feet and ankle or your lower legs, that impacts your feet and ankles' ability to work properly. So there's a lot of issues there. So at any rate, I am, yeah, going through the process right now to hopefully get my insurance to at least kick in something. They don't want to pay any of it. Unfortunately, I live in a state that doesn't have a specialist, as many of you do as well, because there's only a handful of specialists for lipedema in the United States. Why? Well, short answer, because we suck. Germany has been treating lipedema successfully for 80 years, and the US is just barely coming up with a code for it. It's absolutely insane. So, and my surgeon said he believes it's simply because it hits women. It's extremely rare for a man to have lipedema. This is a female disease. It's frequently triggered and exacerbated by hormones and hormonal fluctuations, and we suck on women's health in the US. We just do. So that's his belief. So could I go out of the country and be better treated? Probably. But that's not just a reality for anybody, right? To just hop on an airplane. So this is what I got. So at any rate, he's saying I need four surgeries, three on my legs, one on my arms, and then eventually probably one on my abdomen too, but I need a different surgery before I do that that I'm reluctant to do. So I don't know on that. But at any rate, my legs are my biggest focus right now because I would like to be able to walk better and farther and not struggle and be in pain. So that's the focus. So that's what I'm working on. So if I have surgery, it won't be until next year. Because it's out of network and out of state, there's an extremely high copay. Even if we can get the insurance to pay for some of the rest of it, because there's no specialist here in the US or here in Idaho, It's going to be still an extremely high copay. The surgeries have to be done 2 months apart, so that's a total of 8 months-ish, provided that everything goes to plan. So that's where I'm at right now. So I'm treating it the best I can, of course, with MLD, with compression, with elevating your legs helps a lot too. So all of those things are what I'm working on. But lipedema is something that I talk about and I want to talk about because a lot of women have it and they've never been diagnosed. It's a crazy thing that so many people have this and don't know. A friend of mine, excuse me, that I used to know from Healing Hands years and years ago, also has it and had been undiagnosed around the same time I was. She was working at her job. She worked at a DMV. And one of the people that she was just, doing DMV work for handed her a piece of paper and said, "Go home and research this. This is going to help you." And she wrote down lipedema and handed it to my friend, who went home and researched it and realized, "My God, that's why my legs look like this." And she went to the doctor, and guess what? She got diagnosed, and now she's getting treatment for it. Unfortunately, a lot of women are making it clear to stage three, stage four before they're ever even diagnosed. And at that point, you're just going to have surgery because the conservative methods might keep you from creating more fluid, though, frankly, it just fluctuates. You just don't know what's going to happen. But that's why I see a lot of other women now talking about it more because it needs to be, right? It needs to be. Like, this is attacking women, a lot of women, and they don't even know it. And what's the outcome? Well, going to doctors who just constantly tell you to just lose weight. Well, you can't lose lipedema weight. It isn't fat. You can't just go on a diet or take Ozempic and have it go away. It doesn't because it isn't fat. But if you didn't know any better, that's exactly what you would think. If you don't understand swelling diseases, you wouldn't know. Yeah, an anti-inflammatory diet can be helpful for sure because it is an inflammation disease. But yeah, doing things to cut down on inflammation. That's the ticket. That's what will help you the most. Diet and exercise, not really. And in fact, my surgeon said exercise, especially lower body, actually makes you worse because it is just creating more inflammation upon inflammation. And when you're doing that, it just creates a lot of just more problems. So at any rate, this is where we are. So I'll keep you posted. But yeah, Lillian, thanks for asking. It's definitely a soapbox topic for me at this point because I sure wish I would have been diagnosed a lot sooner. And I really would like to see a lot more women be diagnosed before they go through the 20, 25 years of judgment and humiliation with doctors that I did. So definitely. More information is needed. Yeah. Well, should we get into our topic? Because it's funner than this. It's okay. It is something we need to discuss. Hey, Sherry. Yeah. Hold on. I'm going to jump in the other chat room quickly. By the way, in the Wenchu Radio chat room, I decided that rather than always just post the my old postcard. I'm just going to post the show postcard. That makes more sense to me. So you might see it differently over there if you're going over to comment that way, but that's why. All right, well, let's get into Luminous. So Luminous this week, of course, this is the magazine that I publish weekly. With the help of some of my friends here in the Wen2 world. And putting up a link now, but if you subscribe, you probably received it just a little ago. Hey, Sid. Well, yeah, losing weight won't cure it anyway, Larry. Correct. Yeah. I mean, you'll be more comfortable. Your body will hopefully move better, but you're going to have it. Yep. All right. So, Luminous, I wanted to talk today. We have now cusped June, and now I know for some of you guys, planting conditions are always okay or mostly okay. Where I live, you don't plant much until after June 1st because we could easily still have a frost. It's been a warmer spring than normal, but that's the rule. So I have planted all my flowers and have some tomatoes and stuff out kind of close to the house. But at any rate, and before I get into this, I just got to tell you guys something. Oh, two things, actually. Well, it'll make you laugh. So I'm telling you these in the same sentence, but Saturday was my 28-year wedding anniversary. So yay, Scott, for putting up with this for that long. But that man has had a dozen chicks that he has been hiding in the garage. A dozen. A dozen. And I don't mean the chicks you guys have seen. I mean a dozen more. Yeah. We were at the farm store a couple of weeks ago, and they had these Jersey Blues. They're a giant breed. They were darling. And we already have all the chicks we need. But we loved them. So I was like, oh, let's buy five. Five. We already have a bunch more, right? But five. Okay, we'll add five to our flock. That's it. And we also have those three guineas, right? Like, this is a bigger flock than we need. Way bigger. That bitch went back to the farm store with one of the girls and bought the rest of them. Two died. So he apparently bought 13, and there's 11 left of those. Anyway, yeah, secret chickens hiding in the garage. Who does that? Mm-hmm. Scott Weaver, that's who. I could kick him. The girls knew as well. And well, I found out last night Micah knew too. Everyone knew but me. I guess if that's the worst thing your husband does, you're probably doing okay. You coming in here to defend yourself? You had no, okay, yeah, all right, well, he says the girls didn't actually go with him, he did it himself, they just happened to know, so, that's right, a sneaky chicken farmer, that's what we needed. All right, let's get into Luminous. So, I called the magazine this week the Herbal Enchantment Edition, because I was thinking about planting, and how it's time to plant your herbal gardens if you haven't, to get into your magical gardens, and just think about having one if you haven't in the past. This is something to me that is really fun, and I've done this for a long time, so it's more commonplace for me. I just realized I didn't upload a photo I wanted to share with you. But I wanted to talk about that. Yeah, it's not happening. Okay. Now, listen, this is about planting, but I want to say this before I get into my article, because I want you to realize that you can plant indoor herbs. They do really well in sunny windows. You can plant container gardens if you don't really have a spot for a garden, if you have a little patio or whatnot, a few pots. I mean, a lot of herbs do okay in a decent-sized pot with two or three herbs combined. You know, give them their own little segment. But this is a really easy way to tap into your witchy roots. If you feel witchy, if you feel like you need to be more connected to the earth, this is a really easy and, I think, really rewarding way to do it. So let's get into it. Obviously, growing herbs is great for culinary uses, right? And medicinal benefits. But they're also powerful allies in spiritual practice. If you want to use herbs for various things in spirituality, it's pretty cool to get to grow them yourself. If you can't, Before I go any further, because I love this topic. I hate that it could alienate people who just simply cannot grow things for whatever reason. If you can't, buy them at the store, go to the farmer's market, look on Marketplace for people that are selling off their herbs. There's lots of ways to get some herbs without having to grow them yourself. However, if you can grow some things yourself, it's just really life-affirming. So, years and years and years ago, I worked for the state of Idaho mentoring child care facilities. And I had a lot of really cool experiences with the training for being a mentor. And so I had to go to a lot of trainings and do some certifications and stuff. And it was great. It was really good information. I learned a ton. Mentoring is really about helping people to drill down on what their goals are and then kind of helping them through the process of accomplishing them, mostly just by being the accountability person. And sometimes the idea guy, but mostly you're the idea person. Or sorry, you're the accountability person, and it's an interesting process. But at any rate, in that process, they sent us to a training that was an entire day of learning about generational poverty, which is extremely important to understand, especially when you're working in public sectors like childcare. But helping us understand that was really key. And one of the things they did was a poverty simulation. One of the coolest things I've ever experienced, one of the most eye-opening things I've ever experienced, in that when you walked in the room, you dropped your identity. They took your purse, your ID, your phone, everything, and they slapped a name tag on you that was not your name, and that's who you were for the next several hours. They gave you a packet of things, fake money, documents, challenges, things like that, and that's where you started. And you were a person in poverty, and you were having to go through this simulation and get through a day and then a week in this person's shoes with the money and the situation and the circumstances that you had. It's very, very expensive to be poor. It's very expensive to be in poverty. It's very expensive to just survive when you're just surviving. The simulation was amazing, and if you ever have an opportunity to attend something like that, I highly recommend that you do. This simulation was first brought together by the University of Michigan, and they started touring around the country, taking it to all different kinds of groups of people that needed to understand generational poverty. In the lecture portion, though, one of the things that we learned is that in going into prisons and talking to people who'd been incarcerated for quite a while, talking to people in generational poverty, and talking to people who were not, one of the conclusions that they came to was that teaching people how to garden or how to grow things was a powerful way to keep people out of prison. Why? Is it the cause and effect? That was their idea. It's the learning how to be accountable for something, to nurture something, to watch it grow, to potentially harvest it, to be a part of that full circle process. That created a connection in the brain that maybe was missing in the way of consequences and cause and effect. But it went deeper for me as somebody who works in the spiritual world as well as, has worked in the past, more in the public world, that to me, teaching someone to grow something is one of the most life-affirming and grounding activities that they can experience. Your hands and maybe your feet will be in the dirt from time to time. You have to protect this thing. Your spirit knows this spirit. There's been so many studies over the years of talking to plants and watching how they can prosper when treated with love and respect versus plants that are treated poorly. We did an experiment like that years ago here at my house for a science project. And we had two plants, and one plant got Reiki every day. It got a singing bowl treatment every day. It got love and words of affirmation. It got the same amount of light and water that the other plant did. We also had a control plant, but the other plant, we were supposed to mostly neglect emotionally, and if we ever spoke to it, it was mean words, which I have to tell you killed us. It was for, I think it was for Matea for a science fair, and it killed us both to talk mean to this plant. Like, she was like, I don't think I can do it. This is making me feel like shit. And I'm like, me too. I don't know. How do you look a plant in the eye and tell it it sucks, you know? But anyway. But we know that there is a connection from our spirits to the spirits of the earth and the things that grow. To me, maybe that's what helps people stay out of prison. I don't know. Just a thought. It's an interesting conversation. Let's get into it. If you want to grow herbs for a magical garden, consider lavender. Lavender is known for calming properties. Lavender can help with stress relief and it helps bring peace into your life. It's perfect for meditation and for any ritual where you seek tranquility. I mean, lavender has a lot of uses, as we all know, but magically it has many, many uses. So if you're going to grow a magical garden, lavender, go buy a plant. Don't plant it from seed, it's too late and also not very successful. Go just buy a start. Go to the garden store or the nursery and just buy a start and plant it at home and nurture it and love it and harvest it. Rosemary. I would always have rosemary in a magical garden, always. And the reason why is because rosemary is an amplifier as well as a protector. So planting rosemary around your house or around your garden is a good way to protect it. Harvesting rosemary and using it, like in spell jars and stuff, rosemary helps to amplify any other work that you're doing. So you want to have rosemary, obviously. Rosemary is also amazing for mental clarity. There's some studies out there that show people studying retaining something like 65% more information when in the presence of a rosemary plant or a rosemary oil. Like, what? Why don't we have rosemary growing in every classroom in this country, right? Sage. Now, it's not going to be white sage because white sage grows in California, and that's about the only place. So give up on the idea that you have to have white sage. We've deforested it to no end because of New Age belief, and it needs to stop. Just grow garden sage, common sage, grow pineapple sage or citrus sage. There's a lot of different kinds of sage. I don't care. You pick or grow them all. Pineapple sage, by the way, smells amazing, but you decide. Sage is a must-have because it's used for purification and cleansing. It's great for smudging. It's great for helping to create sacred spaces, but you can use sage any way you want to, or any kind of sage that you want to for purifying spaces. It will burn faster, it burns hotter, and it's more pungent than white sage, but so what? Basil. Grow basil in your magical garden because it's a symbol of prosperity and abundance. It attracts positive energy into your home. It's a great companion for love spells. Basil has a lot of uses. And as it's obvious, you should grow enough to make some pesto, right? How about thyme? Thyme represents courage, strength. It's another herb of protection. It's an herb of bravery. If you need to be a little extra brave, maybe you need some thyme on your hands. I meant that in the herbal sense. It can be used in spells that require confidence or to bring clarity into tough situations. So clearly, You need that. And of course, lots of other things that you could grow. That's just a very brief idea if you only have room for a few things. But you think it out. Go to the nursery, wander around, see what you can find. But this is a good start. All right. What about a magical garden space? Well, you want one that gets the right amount of sun. Full sun is the best for herbs, or mostly full. You can, of course, start with containers. You can have windowsill containers, a balcony container. If you have a yard but you don't have a dedicated garden bed, buy one. Just buy a garden box. It's not that hard. And also, if you look on Marketplace, a lot of times people are selling stuff like that that you can pick up for a decent price. But you can buy a little soil to put in that and get it going. So, what about other things? Because this is where it gets super fun. What else can you have around that magical garden? How about some statuaries? How about some crystals? How about any other effigies or things that are powerful for you? Consider the elements when you're setting up your garden. The earth, of course, is there, represented by the soil and the plants. Water through all of your regular watering. You could also add a water feature if you really wanted to. Fire comes from the sun. And then, of course, air is represented by the breezes that pass through. So, in any garden space, you naturally have that. You could add more celebrations of that, of course, by things like putting some kind of, like, you could have a sundial to represent fire. You could have some wind spinners to celebrate the air. You could have a little fountain to represent water. And then, of course, earth is just there. You can't get around that. But those are some ideas for things that you could put into your garden. Some ideas for crystals, amethyst, citrine, great ways to amplify the energy of the garden. So is clear quartz. A black tourmaline at the corners helps to ward off negative energy. You could add fairy lights. I have lots of fairy lights in my outdoor spaces and I love them. I always buy the solar ones so I don't have to worry about plugging them in. And eventually they stop, working and you have to replace them. But I usually get a few years out of solar lights. Again, wind chimes, small statues of deities or spirits or angels. This should be a beautiful space, right? Even if these are just little things that you stick right in your pots, great. It just makes them that much more magical and fun to have. Planting under the full moon. We have a full moon coming up. So, what about it? Planting under the full moon. And of course, the Farmer's Almanac might argue with me or might have a different idea. People have different ideas, like planting under the full moon or under the new moon. Some people want to plant under the new moon because that's when things are growing. Some people want to plant under the full moon because that's when the Earth's energy seems to be the most potent. We're currently under a barrage of solar storms, so does that affect planting? Maybe. I can't speak to it, but I wondered. But we are coming into a full moon, so I wanted to recommend that. I have a friend who her skin is really sensitive. Her medication makes her really sensitive to the sun. And she gardens at night, and she has a big garden. She does a ton of gardening. She gardens at night with a headlamp on. And I think that's just the greatest thing I've ever seen. But if you wanted to actually plant under the light of the full moon, you certainly could. Caring for those magical herbs. Well, obviously, once they're in the ground, they still have to have some attention. Water them regularly, obviously. When you are watering, this is a super good time to love them, to compliment them. To thank them. Plants love being talked up. Tell them how pretty they are. Tell them how cool they are. Tell them how amazing they're looking, how big they look, how beautiful their scent or their colors are, how wonderful their scent is. Gratitude, all of those things. Thank them for giving the bees something to eat and the butterflies. But when you water your plants, it's an amazing time to nurture them. If you have Reiki or another kind of healing modality you do, this is a great time to offer that to your plants as well. So they like a good drink. We water every day, but just a quick drink to all of our outdoor, all of our garden herbs and magical herbs. It really depends on your climate and, how you do that. What you want to do is make sure that the water, if it gets dry to the touch on top, you definitely need to be watering. And sometimes they'll, wilt a little bit and give you the message, but you also don't want to drown them. If you're putting them in pots, you have to have some drainage in those pots. So they either need to be pots that sit in big saucers so that some of the water can drain down into the saucers or have a way to get away if you've got too much in there. Or you need to have some gravel in the bottom of the pot. If you have pots that don't have holes in them, and I don't recommend that, honestly. If you're like me, you've done it lots of times and your plants always die. You can drill a little hole in your pot if you can, but I really, really recommend looking for pots that have holes in the bottom and sit in a big saucer. That's really the best thing to look for if you're container gardening. Or if you don't care if the water runs out, then they don't need a big saucer, but they need to have a hole. I like the saucer because it does catch some water and will help continue to water for a minute. But pruning and harvesting. One of the mistakes that people make with herbs is they don't prune and harvest them. They're always waiting for that to be the time, right? It's as soon as your plants are have got good sized foliage on them, you can start pruning and harvesting. You don't wait till fall. Don't wait till they go to seed. Like with basil, ugh. If you've done that, you waited too long because now your leaves are starting to shrivel up. It's just they're not as good. Harvesting doesn't mean you have to take the whole plant. Start pruning off the older stuff, and you'll see a lot of times newer growth coming in, depending on what the plant is. But don't wait to harvest until later on and do it all in one fell swoop. That's not how herbs work. Harvest them frequently. Take a little bit. Maybe you're taking a little bit for an altar, or you're taking a little bit to cook dinner. That's good. Continue to take a little bit off here and there all the time. Always, as you're pruning, say thank you. Show gratitude. You can also, even if you're not pruning for or harvesting for something that you need right now, you can still do that. Oh goodness. I don't know if you can hear Nellie, but I think Scott's out front. She's having a fit. Anyway, even if you're not going to use it right now, just to start pruning off a little bit and drying it is great. You can dry your herbs by putting them, just laying them out like on a paper towel in a sunny window. You can dry them in the oven if you want to, but naturally, I kind of like that better. But if you have to, you can put them in a really low oven. Of course, if you have a dehydrator, that works great too. You can also just tie them in bunches and just tie them up and let them dry naturally. And that's what I usually do if I have time to. How can you eat them when you're talking to them? Well, with gratitude. I know. And then again, talk to them. And we discussed this, but talk to them. Other things you can do. My plants have always loved singing bowls. You can play a singing bowl for them. I think that chimes and wind chimes, things that tinkle, outside around your plants, I think plants do well with that. I think that sound therapy is actually helpful for plants. Okay, so now you've got some herbs growing and you want to incorporate them into spiritual practices. So, what does that look like? Well, we've done spell jars here on the show lots of times, but little jars like this that hold various things. I won't teach you again today how to make a spell jar, but I've done it before. So you can find it here in my archives, or you can look it up yourself as well. But you always need some herbs for your spell jars, so consider doing that. A jar that has rosemary for protection, maybe basil for abundance, lavender for peace. You could combine those for a manifestation spell. A million ideas about spell jars and herbs. So I won't do all of that today, but how about tea blends? Brewing a cup of tea from herbs that you grew is pretty powerful. You could grow lemon balm, and if you're, when you're planning your garden, think about, do I want to make tea out of these? And if I do, what would I want? You might want some mint. Just know that mint takes over everything. So if you're growing mint, plant it in a place where if it starts spreading like crazy, it's not going to ruin your life. I have mint in my front beds and it's wild, but we like it and we use it a lot, so it's fine. Lemon balm, chamomile, again, peppermint, those are all really good ones. You can think about what else you'd want. What do you want to brew a tea for? Are there some medicinal purposes that you're looking for? You might look for something different. Look it up. Make a plan. The internet is at your fingertips. So if you want to be thinking about what herbs would I want to put away for the winter for things that I might want to make a tea for, do that. If you're thinking about, okay, well, I get frequent stomach aches, so what tea could I brew for that? Think that direction. Or I want to brew a tea to help me sleep better at night. Think that direction. Chamomile, lavender, super good. Other things. So, again, do your homework so that you know what you want to grow that's going to benefit you both medicinally and spiritually. And then, of course, culinary. It shouldn't be an aside. They can all fit together, but there's that as well. And then, of course, for smudging, you want your sage for that. You might want to combine some lavender, some rosemary. Maybe some other things. Again, do your homework and know what you want when you plant your garden so that you can get things that work for you. If this is new for you, label your plants so that you know what you have. It's so frustrating to plant things and grow them and then not be able to remember what they are. So label them or keep a little record or take pictures of them on your phone so that you remember, but make sure that you label your stuff so that you know what you have. Okay. As the seasons change, of course, your garden will too. In the summer, you're going to have a lot of growth. You're going to have a lot of beauty. You're going to have some blooming. And then in the fall, eventually, most likely, depending on where you live, those plants are probably going to die. If they are a perennial, they may come back in the spring. If they're an annual, they won't. But it's a part of the cycles of life to recognize the cycles of plants as well. You can see how it all ties into your spirit and your spirituality. Okay, Kelly's podcast this week. This was their first collab about a woman in STEM. So they brought on somebody else to talk to them about this about Rosalind Franklin. And her name is Ash, and it's an awesome interview, an awesome conversation. So be sure that you check that out. Kelly's just out here doing the good work all the time. And then my tip this week is sun tea. We talked about this last week too, but I wanted to bring it forward. So making sun tea. How do you do it? Well, take a gallon jar, fill it up with water, just fresh water, whatever you want to drink, and 8 tea bags at least. You decide. And it might depend on the tea too, how strong you want it, but 8 tea bags is the basic rule of thumb. Seal that jar and take it outside. And sit it in the sun for at least 5 hours. Just take it out all day long. And then at night, throw it in the fridge. Fish out your tea bag so you don't want it to get bitter. And then by the morning, it's cold. And you can sweeten it with honey or anything else you want to sweeten it with or not sweeten it. And keep it in the fridge and drink it. You get that solar energy. You get the combination of that and the herbal design, whatever it is that you put in there. That's an amazing way to celebrate summer and to honor the sun and the element of the sun, but also to get a little herbal therapy while you're at it. So I love doing this. This is one of my favorite things in the summer. For me, it's almost always peppermint tea. Cold peppermint tea to me is apparently just where it's at. Christie's Kindred Spirits Energy Oracle reading is Archangel Ariel. Over at True Crime Squad, oh, there's a lot going on. The Safari Park Mayhem episode talks about a safari park in Oregon that's, my God, we have another Tiger King on our hands. I hate to say it. And then Lori Vallow headed back to trial. Should have started. Finished seating the jury Friday. They couldn't because she claimed to be ill. She came back to court yesterday. They should have seated the jury and started opening arguments. She again claimed to be ill. Has had some really testy exchanges with a very patient, kind judge recently, and they ended up having to cancel court and cancel court today. So tomorrow, maybe. But it is the final episode of Lori Vallow. This will be her last conviction. And then she can just go be in prison forever and do whatever Lori does. This episode from last night talks about that and shows some of her exchanges with the judge that are pretty jaw-dropping. Jamie Dawn has a video about the full moon in Sag. Of course, lots of meditations over on Planet Meditation. And that's what I've got. That is luminous this week. So I hope that you found some gems in there, some things to inspire you and help you out. That's always my goal. I gotta tell you guys. Remember that safari park that I went to last year that I was so excited about? Yeah. So we went and bought season passes so that we can just go every day if we want. It's mostly just a drive-through, and then there's a little petting zoo area. But oh my gosh, you guys, we went over the weekend and it was amazing. We actually got to play with a baby, a white bison baby that they are bottle feeding. And oh my God, she was so precious. Her name was Pearl. And she sucked on our fingers and she loved Mars so much, so much. Like, Mars couldn't get away from her. She had her whole tongue wrapped around Mars's arm. But she was so cute. But also, you guys, I am in heaven. They have two brand new baby donkeys. Baby donkeys! If you know me, you know how much I love donkeys. And so I'm mostly just dead about this because, oh, baby donkeys. I love them so much. And I thought I had a picture for you, but I'm not seeing it. Let me see. Okay, I gotta save them correctly. And then I'll share. But anyway, so baby Pearl. What happens? They have babies that are born that then, for whatever reason, the mom is don't want occasionally, and then they have to feed them. And so they have this little donkey or little bison that mama didn't want, rejected, and so they're feeding her. And it just happens. Luckily, they are willing to bottle feed and save poor little Pearl. They had a little brown bison baby last year that was the same. But okay, I think I can get my pictures up now. There we go. Okay, here's Pearl. I mean, can you even? Look at that tongue. Yeah. She has teeth, but they're really flat and like kind of flat to her gums. So they're not like, painful or anything. But you can feel them when she sucks on your fingers. But yeah, she sucked on our fingers and sucked on Mars until I had to drag her away from there. But then, oh my God, look at this guy. That not the most perfect picture? So these donkeys are rescues, and they clearly have had some neglect. They both, their coats really need some work, their hooves need some work. So they're slowly in the process of acclimating them and getting, some care for them that they need. But oh my hell, this guy is my new best friend. You know, I'm going to go back and visit him like every day for the whole summer, right? My gosh, he's precious. I shouldn't even say this out loud because somebody will go get on the internet, but I kind of wish I had a couple of donkeys. I love them so much. Do I have a purpose for donkeys? Not at all. But good Lord. They're too damn cute. I love them. I may have been a donkey in a past life. I don't know. Right, Sid? I know. I never want to leave. But now that we bought passes, we can go every day. And they're only a few miles from my house. But the bears. The bears look so different from last fall. I didn't take any pictures of them this time. I will next time we go through. But last fall, they were really packing on the weight so that they could hibernate. And this spring, they have slimmed down a lot. But they're just as funny as they were, hamming it up for the camera, swimming in their pool. They have a big pond, like a natural pond. Love them. Anyway, it was all great. It really was. But oh, and the baby foxes and baby wolves. I'll take more pictures next time. I should have taken more. So they do pull the babies from the parents because of their enclosures, like they wouldn't be safe where they are. And partly because of the hierarchies too. But anyway, they had, I'm going to say, five baby red foxes and five or six wolf pups. The wolf, one of the wolves, it was hot. Well, for here. And there was a whole pile of wolf pups just sound asleep. And there was one pup that did not want to sleep. And he was pure white with big blue eyes. My God, he was stunning. But he wouldn't leave the other pups alone. Just constantly jumping on them, growling, yanking on their fur, just absolutely determined to make them get up and play with him. And one of them would kind of roll over and wrestle with him for a minute and then go back to bed. And he was hilarious. He was so determined. And you can't touch them. They're not petting zoo animals, you know. You can't get right up and touch them, but you can observe them. And the baby foxes, oh my gosh. So part of this sanctuary, what they, or this situation, not situation, it's a wildlife park, is what they call themselves, but they started through fox conservation. So red foxes have more than 45 color variants in the wild, and a lot of those color variants we are losing because of kits being deforested and or you know because of dens being deforested and things like that. And so the guy who owns this place was involved in fox conservation, and a man that he knew was getting well up in years and had this big I don't know how you qualify them, den. I want to say den, but that might not be right. Of foxes that he needed a home for because he was trying to retire. He was like in his 90s, 80s or 90s, and his kids didn't want anything to do with the fox preservation. So this guy that lives near me decided that he would take it over because they're trying to save all of these color variants before they're completely gone in the wild. So red foxes are every shade of red and brown you can think of, but also black and white, and then every different aspect of like combinations of those you can think of. It's actually really, really interesting. So that's how he got started, is just by his fox conservation, but he has a big chunk of land, and so then he decided that perhaps if he, were to create a park, then people could come and see the foxes and actually enjoy them. And it kind of grew from there. So his bears are actually rescues. The bison kind of are too, actually. And then obviously the donkeys are. And they also added reindeer. But the reindeer are not, they don't like the heat. So they hang out in the barns, their barn quite a bit. So you don't get to see the reindeer very much. But anyway, blah, blah, blah. that's it with the safari park. So I'll share more pictures next time, but yeah, very excited. But can we just look at this donkey one more time because he's so damn cute? I didn't know his name and I was calling him Henry because he looks like a Henry to me. And then I asked one of the attendants and she said his name is Pinocchio. So therefore, I will be calling him Henry. That's a Henry face if I ever saw one. I think most people would agree. But that picture kills me every time I look at it. So funny. All right. Well, before I go, I want to remind you that I am a professional psychic advisor over at onetolisten.com. And you can find me over there every day. 365, I work. I'm happy to. I want to be there. If you head over there and I'm not there, just do a callback request. That sends me a text that lets me know that somebody's waiting on me, and I'll do everything I can to get into a spot where I can sign in and take your call. If you want to do a scheduled call so that you and I both agree on a time, that's totally fine too. Or if you head over there and see me signed in, call. You don't have to get my permission. If I'm signed in to work, I'm there to work. So give me a call. I can help you with a psychic reading. I do a lot of energy work and animal communication at One to Listen. I can do some mediumship for you. Sometimes you just need somebody to listen and bounce something off of, make a decision, things like that. I can absolutely help you with that. I've been doing this for a super long time. So if I can help you with anything, come over and see me. Let me know. I would love to. And that is what I've got. So I want to thank you all very much for being here. I appreciate you a lot. Thanks for being in the chat. If you're listening after the fact, thanks for being here too. Be sure to like, share, and comment and follow. That helps me. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that little red bell, the subscribe button, and then you'll be notified whenever I go live or, have a short come out and stuff like that so that we can interact. Thanks everybody so much. Take good care of yourselves. You're worth it. I'll be back here next week. Same place, same time. You have been watching another edition of the Katie Weaver Show here on One Two Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world.